Good day, South Dakota, and welcome to Tech Radio featuring the Computer Guys. I'm your host, Kent Osborne. On today's program, a shocking announcement from Elon Musk, he's Tesla Motors CEO, will explain Powerwall. We'll also follow up on the topic of our previous show, Cutting the Cord. And finally, I have some tips today if you're thinking of building your own computer or maybe having one custom built for you. You can email midday@sdpb.org or tweet to @sdpb. Join the discussion on our Facebook page at facebook.com/techradio or call now. You can email your questions or suggestions to our guests today at midday@sdpb.org. We'll hear from you and the panelists after this news from SDPB Radio. Well, happy May Day, everybody. Welcome to Tech Radio featuring the Computer Guys. I'm here with Joel Brovoli today. We're going to take your questions and comments on a variety of topics, I hope. The phone number to get a hold of us, 800-524-3604. That's 800-524-3604. At SDPB is our Twitter handle. And, of course, the email address that everybody likes to use, midday, M-I-D-D-A-Y, at SDPB.org. Happy May Day, Joel.
Happy May Day. Did you get your May Day basket?
Yeah, I did not.
You know, apparently, I didn't know this, but apparently that's an old tradition that not many people observe. I guess I kind of just all along have seen people do it, but apparently in lots of other parts of the country, it is fallen by the wayside for decades and decades.
We did, when the kids were small, I'll have to say that we did that.
Yeah.
The kids so got May Day baskets on May Day.
So did we.
And, it was leftover so Easter candy,
yeah,
but
of course
it was May Day.
I was helping my daughter put one together for our teacher this morning. She's like, "Where's the Easter grass?" I'm like, no, you're not supposed to put all your leftover Easter candy in the May Day basket.
I was wondering. I was going to ask you if you just, text a May Day basket to kids nowadays out of a little graphic or something, or do you actually build one and,
Well, she said, "Are we just putting candy in it?" I said, "What else do you think we should put in there?" "iTunes cards." I said, "That's a good idea, but not."
My. Yeah. Oh man. Let's not dive into that. But happy May Day.
Happy May Day.
And it's going to be a glorious day out there, but we've got tech to talk about today.
Lots of good stuff.
Yeah. So Elon Musk, Tesla Motors CEO, the first thing I hear on NPR this morning is an announcement. Shocking in that, you see where I went there? Shocking in that the price was substantially cheaper than everybody had predicted.
Yeah, he had Elon Musk, who's the he's a South African born tech entrepreneur that basically invented PayPal, turned it into something huge, then sold it to eBay, and is now known most for Tesla Motors, the car company named after the famous physicist, of course, that makes electric-only cars, and, of course, SpaceX, which is the private-owned rocket company, basically, and they're sending supplies up to the they're the first privately owned company to send something into space and deliver supplies to the space station, and they're looking ahead to pay travel in space. So he's kind of a tech visionary, and I just read this. The character Iron Man, or Tony Stark, was based in part in the movies on Elon Musk, and Elon Musk apparently appeared in one of the movies.
I can see that.
I didn't know that.
Did you? So you saw the announcement?
I did see the announcement. Yeah, the Powerwall, and he had hinted at this about 6 months, maybe 4 months ago, that they were working on home power, where basically Tesla would sell large battery packs to homes and small businesses that you could use to power everything in your house. And a lot of the tech analysts, when they heard this, were like, "Yeah, that sounds like a great idea, but to really make it work, probably going to be about $30,000. So it's not really going to be something people are interested in." But comes out, and you're going to be able to get a $3,500 version, which is a 10 kilowatt hour. Or a $3,000 version for a 7 kilowatt hour, which basically 10 kilowatt hours That's really hard to visualize in your head. But if you run your dryer kind of like for a normal cycle, if you've got an even remotely modern dryer, it's going to be about 2.4, 2.2, maybe up to 3 kilowatts for an hour. And, you know, one cycle's around an hour. That sounds like, okay, that's gonna burn that battery down. Well, if you consider that you can charge this using solar, you don't have to now go into tapping into your local power provider. You can just power your own battery. You can essentially, on this 10 kilowatt hour, a standard home, say you've got four people in the house, you could run the whole thing in an evening on this one battery, charge it all day long. And unless you're doing crazy things with power, such as running three dryers, you're going to be able to power it completely off the grid, not going through your energy provider at all, for just whatever you can charge it during the day. Now, that's going to mean you're going to have whatever power that is that charges it, whether it's solar or wind. The other thing you can do is you can buy power to charge this thing on off-peak hours, which makes it cheaper. Mm-hmm. So this is going to completely revolutionize power. In fact, one of the coolest things about the announcement, you can check it out on YouTube, just search for Tesla, you will find it, is they ran the entire announcement on the batteries. So all of the power for all of the presentation, everything that everybody's plugging in, TV cameras, everything was run off these batteries.
And
amazing stuff.
Is this typical for battery power then? Is it very, very clean? As far as the voltage, the spikes and the...
Well, it's going to be super clean because you're going to be so close to the source. Mm-hmm. Battery power in and of itself is generally cleaner than what would come. Now, I'm probably going to get hit by a few people. I'm going to miss out a few details here. But as a general rule, the power that comes from a battery comes out cleaner because it has to, because you've got a digital controller that's sending the power out at whatever sure. amount that you want it okay. at. So, and you're so close to the power as opposed to sending power from your power station, wherever that might be, 7 miles, 17 miles, 70 miles away. It's got to travel all that way. And if you look at our power grid in general, it's kind of shockingly inefficient. There is no battery storage anywhere on our power grid ever. So it's amazing it really works at all, because everything is completely on demand. So turn your lights on in the middle of the night, that power is coming from 70 miles away, and it's being made right then. So, and the other part is that this renewable part, whether that's wind or solar, at right now, without a good battery storage system, which there isn't one up until now, that has to be sent back into the grid, losing power all the way, and used by someone right then. And then, of course, if it's nighttime and you're using solar, then there's no renewable power that's available for you unless you're using wind, and that's questionable. So without any good storage solution, renewable energy only goes so far. So this is, and this was the idea behind this device in general. Of course, this is going to help the electric car market for Tesla, because you'll be able to charge your battery using solar and then charge your car using your Tesla Powerwall, charge your Tesla car, and you're completely clean. You get it via solar. Obviously, that's the ideal way for a home. You get it via solar, it charges, you charge it, and you don't tap the energy grid at all for that. But of course, you could run your entire house on something like this and never pay a power bill again.
Certainly makes you think about it. They're really looking to get people off the grid as much as possible and onto solar or other.
Yeah, well, I mean, and you just consider $3,000, $3,500. It's just so low entry. I mean, it's cheaper than a motorcycle.
The solar panels are a lot more expensive than that.
Well, they can be. I mean, they've come down, by in order of magnitude themselves in just not too long.
They have.
And they're just going to get cheaper, especially with something like this, with a true battery system that will store the energy that's kind of plug and play. If you've seen a picture of this, it's like the size of a tankless water heater.
Yeah, you hang it on the wall basically in your garage or wherever.
Wherever you're going to have it.
Yeah.
And it comes in multiple colors because, of course, why wouldn't it? match your house. And one of the really cool things I thought they did was right away they set it up so that you can gang multiple power walls together. So if 10 kilowatts won't run your business or your house, you can stack on another, and it's just a component that plugs in, and one controller runs it all.
Right, and you can do that, or for the business solution side of this, they did Power Pack.
Yes.
Which is many more kilowatt
hours. Just a really big announcement.
It seems well thought out and well planned, and it's a company that can execute it well additionally.
Yeah, and guaranteed for 10 years is what they said, and they're going to start shipping them this summer. Those are the other two things that I think get lost in a lot of the news is it's shipping this summer, which, you're talking brand new technology that's actually reachable price by consumers. Usually that's like, oh, and you'll see it in 2 years.
Oh, you'll but see this it is fourth shipping, quarter next year.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Shipping this summer and guaranteed for 10 years. So if you've got a problem in 10 years, they're going to take care of it, which is kind of amazing considering, again, it only costs that $3,000, $3,500.
Is this the product that's coming out of that secret factory that was going to be shopped around
definitely,
in Nevada and California?
Definitely, yeah. I think this is definitely where they're going to build them. I would be surprised if these aren't, as soon as they start selling them, they're just sold out immediately. You think about, say you're a person that has a cabin at the lake. Those power to those places is always iffy. You've got like a 120 amp system, and it always breaks down because you're always trying to plug in a curling iron or something like this. This is a perfect solution for that because it's off until you need it. You go in there as long as you can have it charged up because you got solar running the whole time. It's a great solution for things like that.
Well, folks at home, if you've got questions or comments about today's announcement, email them to us, midday@sdpb.org, or drop us a tweet, if it's a short question, at SDPB. 800-524-3604 is the phone number as well on this or really any other topic today. We've got a couple more to get going in a listener question about bandwidth that we're going to take on after this short break. When we come back, we've got a question about bandwidth, and we'll continue the discussion on some things I've got cooking. And of course, we want to follow up on the big Cutting the Cord show of last. That I don't know. I've gotten several comments from folks. I don't know if you have as well.
Yeah, and definitely.
We'll probably want to talk that out a little bit. But we'll be back with these topics and more right after this. And welcome back to this May Day edition of Tech Radio featuring the Computer Guys. May Day, not in the sense of emergency or help, but in this beautiful day, we're celebrating outdoors as much as possible, I hope. You can call, tweet, or text your email or email us your questions, or simply swing by facebook.com/techradio and post your questions or comments there as well. That goes on 24 hours a day. It never ends, and we check that often. And don't be shy. Our phone number, 800-524-3604 as well, at SDPB. The Twitter handle and the email address, of course, midday@sdpb.org. Joel, we'll be back May 15th is our next Tech Radio in 2 weeks. So put that on your calendar, and we'll see you then. We have an email from Jim in Sioux Falls, and he says, can you explain exactly what is bandwidth? And what does it take for a company to provide more into my home? Why does it cost more to get more bandwidth in my home when it doesn't seem to cost the company any more to do so?
Well,
that's posed interestingly. So
it is. We'll break it down. First, what is bandwidth? When you're referring to computers or in computing, because bandwidth can mean lots of things, whether you're talking about the bandwidth of the visual spectrum, of radio or radio waves. But in bandwidth in computers is the bit rate that is available or consumed in a capacity, typically in metric multiples of bits per second. Okay. So there's a technical term of it. What you're really asking is network bandwidth, and that is measured, like I said, in metric. And you know, we used to see bandwidth of 128K, which is kilobytes, or kilobits, I should say,
mm-hmm.
or 256K, 256 kilobits.
Mm-hmm.
Now you see more like a 1 megabit, which is 1,000 megabits. Some people would say it's 1,024 megabits, but it's not actually.
To be precise. Oh,
it's
oh.
not actually. Oh. I found that I got busted on that several years ago.
All right.
One megabit or 2 megabits up to 10 megabits now, I think you can get in certain 30 megabits.
Sure.
So that's your question. And I think when you're asking, you know, what is this and why does it cost so much money to get so much more? Well, because they can charge more. That's really the deal. And it does take more infrastructure. When you're talking about 128 kilobits, which is about 1/10 of a megabit,
mm-hmm.
To get that data there, or to get that speed of data and to your house, it requires very little infrastructure in the way of wires that come in. Old technology can carry that to your house. When you get up to the 10 to 30 megabits, which is, you know, 10 to 30 times that, it requires serious infrastructure changes. By that, I mean like new wires in the ground overhead, and that can mean the large coaxial cable, that type of thing, or it could mean fiber. And there's a lot of fiber being talked about in all over the country. You hear mm-hmm. about that. And that's what you have to have because that can carry basically more signal. So 1 megabit might be great for streaming videos off of YouTube and you're the only one in your house watching it. However, if two people are watching Netflix and you've got email going and your son or daughter's got a video game playing in the other room, 1 megabit isn't going to cut it. You know, you're probably going to need 5 to 10 to just get that done. The second part of the question is, why is it so expensive?
Yeah, why does it cost more? So it's kind of like, you know,
they have to upgrade the infrastructure and they can charge for it.
And they're providing more, too. I mean, it's not, you know, it's if you.
The data that comes through, when you ask for a video from Netflix, Netflix doesn't send that to you. If you ask for a pizza from Domino's that they bring you the pizza. That's not how it works. It has to go through a lot of different places. So you ask for the video from Netflix. You basically, that request goes to whoever your local provider is.
Mm-hmm.
They request whoever their provider is, and they tap this person and that person, and it goes through all these wires, and that video comes to you. And that requires computing power. It requires signals being sent the right place. And, of course, it all seems like it happens instantly, but it doesn't. There's a lot of back-end backbone involved in that. So there is, you know, quite a bit to that. It seems like power, where you plug something in, you got power. But mm-hmm. it's really a lot more complicated. That being said, bandwidth does get, I think, overhyped as to, you know, what all is involved and why the price difference between 10 megabits is so much more than the price of 1 megabit.
Sure.
So.
And here's something that never happens on this show. I'm going to suggest a book. this is going to blow a lot of people's minds. But I'm actually reading this book right now, and it's called Tubes.
Like on paper?
Yes.
From trees?
Well, I've downloaded it onto my iPad, and I'm
reading it. I almost had a heart attack.
It's available in hardcover, paperback, or Audible book as well. But it's called Tubes, a Journey to the Center of the Internet. And so there's a correspondent at Wired Magazine, and he was sitting around his apartment one day, and he's like, how does this get here? And takes a very unconventional path to find out how bandwidth gets into his house, into his apartment. And
I'll bet he still doesn't know.
And it's fascinating. He does know, mm-hmm. and he takes you on this journey to do this, and it's a great read. It was recommended to me actually by my boss, who read it and then recommended it to me, and it's fantastic. So Jim, Tubes is the and that's, by the way, the second band reference today. We had Tesla, and now we have Tubes, the Tubes. Tubes, A Journey to the Center of the Internet. It was published a couple years ago, 2013, but visually, the pictures that he paints in your mind of this technology is fascinating, and I can't recommend it more highly.
Yes, but, yes. Hopefully that answers your question. If it doesn't, you've got some riveting reading ahead of you, apparently, with the book. If it doesn't answer your question and you can't find the book, email us back, and we'll see if we can maybe do a better job. But I think that that should cover it.
Keely Baltina joins us today. Hi. In the studio at KCSD. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing? You just looked like you were having so much fun through the window.
Yeah.
When you came in, did it actually look like we were having fun, or did it look less like we were having fun?
Why don't you grab a different set of headphones there, because apparently those yellow ones are not working.
That
Let's
one's
try
working.
This version.
Yeah, there
Is
you
that
go.
That better?
Yeah.
You can hear my lovely voice.
Happy May Day.
Yeah. Thank you. You just looked like you were having an incredible time, and I wanted to be a part of it. So I just insert myself
into
the
conversation. You wanted to chime in on the bandwidth Brilliant. Question.
You know, if there is anything I'm an expert in, bandwidth is is the one. So I'm sorry I missed it. Next time, though, maybe the next time I fill in for you, Kent, I can
Absolutely.
Answer a bandwidth question.
Yeah, that's great. We had the discussion last show on cutting the cord. Did you catch that? You catch the cutting the cord? It was sort of the pledge fundraising episode where we took a deep dive into really what we talk about on the show all the time, which is getting your entertainment in a non
basically not
using, on satellite. Or,
yeah, not using your standard providers, whether the satellite or cable, to get your video entertainment, because there's just so many options that the head spins.
That's us.
That's us. Yeah. Uh-huh. Your family does that.
We do.
And how long have you done that?
We were talking about like the moment that cable left our house and we really relied on like Netflix and other things.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was December was the first month that we were like, you know, we watch these shows only when we DVR them. The DVR is full, but we don't really get to them. But we feel just better that they're there. And then December was the first month we just stopped paying for cable. We don't get it anymore. And we just switched. And I am proud to say we have survived at this point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You look healthy. And
thank you.
It's not, as hard as it is. You know, what's interesting is I think the younger, I mean, clearly you're younger than I am, but I think younger than us, people who are, you know, just entering high school and junior high now, they don't have an attachment to physical things like we do. You know, for us, a physical thing is like, well, I still have all of Veep on my DVR, so it's mine. I don't want to delete it. I've seen it, but I'm going to keep it there because I might want to see it again because it's this thing. It's this physical thing. Whereas my daughter is like, what is that plastic thing that you're putting in there? Would just go to the internet and get it.
Right.
Like all things. You know, I want another episode of Teen Titans. So make it go. I'm not going to buy a piece of plastic. I don't want to hold on to it. I just want to watch it when I watch it. And I think that's how it's going to go. You know, where physical objects of this media, whether it's music or videos, just not going to be as important to have and hold. I think there are a lot of people that think otherwise, but I think most of those people are old.
Well, okay, that's valid.
Like me.
Like, I'll give you that. Except we had this conversation with my in-laws recently about, you know, they're looking at how much they pay for their satellite TV and whether this is something they really want to do, and they rely so much on the internet and they watch stuff on Netflix. Like, do we need to be paying for this? And they've made the decision to keep using this service because there are a couple of shows that they want to watch and that are only available if they have this package. That way, they haven't figured out, they haven't found another internet service that will provide them with all of those episodes whenever they want.
Yeah,
so they keep hold of it.
There are a few programs like that, and we talked about this last time, but only briefly. some of those things, if you're willing to not watch it when it broadcasts, you know, you can get the next day. A vast majority of them, frankly.
And a lot of those things are showing up same night, actually,
or next day. Some of them take more time. You know, there are a few kind of holdout networks that are like, well, we're going to wait and put it out on DVD, and then you can download it, or then you can buy the DVD. So there are some shows that you may have to wait a few months. None of the shows that are wildly popular, I might add. If it's popular at all, you can get it the next day.
Yeah, well, my problem is that I binge watched Grey's Anatomy when I was on maternity leave because I'd never watched it
all
before.
All of it. Isn't that dangerous?
It's so dangerous. Right?
Never binge watch a show that's really good and known to be good, and binge watch it all at one time because you'll be so invested.
I really was.
They're my friends.
Uh-huh.
What are going to happen to my... Now, of course, you have to watch it on the TV, don't you?
Well, but I hadn't been watching it on the television.
But now you need to.
Because I thought, well, when the season comes out, I'm going to watch all of the season together again. Stupid move.
Yeah.
Because when a bunch of things happened last week, my Facebook and the internet and people.com, all of these things sent me alerts about what happened. And so now I know this major plot twist because I tried to rely on the technology. Services.
Yeah.
And
who knew he was going to die? I mean, ridiculous.
You've ruined it if anyone is listening.
I didn't say which he was.
Well, that's true. But it's not any of the women you've just told them.
Right.
But sorry, Kent.
Man.
Hijacking
I don't watch
your show
it, so
with
it's
great
okay.
I don't watch
I didn't
okay.
either,
I don't
but then I
either.
Got sucked in because they were all there. So I could.
It's something.
And that I find is a little bit dangerous when it comes to that opportunity with technology, is that if I have to sit down and watch something every week or can only watch a couple at a time, like, I can leave it or take it. But when you've got, you really form this weird relationship, kind of like when you get into a series of books and you just
can't
stop.
Well, and you know, here's the funny thing. You know, when this episodic television thing came out, you know, when people decided that that's how we're going to put programs on the TV, or, you know, kind of a bit of a holdover from radio, it was solely to sell things. It wasn't because that is the best form to deliver entertainment. Because if you think about the option for entertainment before then was going to a play, encapsulated, you know, there wasn't Romeo and Juliet part 1, 2, 3, and then they split the fourth one up into 3 plays. I mean, they didn't do that. And books came out and you read chapters, and not very often were there series of books before that point. So it was solely a monetary thing. So it's kind of... a strange archetype anyway. So this, I think, allows more of an option. I recently watched all of the Daredevil series on Netflix, which is fabulous if you are a big Daredevil fan like me. But one of the things you can do there when it's released all at once and you can binge watch it is they don't have to worry about updating you about what happened last episode. They don't have to like incorporate that into 5 or 10 minutes of the show to say, oh, they forgot that this person died, so we got to kind of hint at it. They can kind of do more. They can do more with those 5 minutes on the end and the beginning. And it becomes more like a chapter book or a graphic novel, you know, kind of the typical form of entertainment. I don't think episodic television is going to go away necessarily, but we're now into the point where you get to choose what kind of thing you want. And I think that's a really great thing. So did you have an update? I had a really great update recommendation I wanted to talk about.
Well, there was two things I learned, I guess, that I want to share, but I'll do one of them first, and then you can share, and then I'll share. But the first thing is when somebody recommends a product to you, listen to them, because I had one of the engineers at work, you know, who knows things about antennas, told me this is the model of antenna you need to buy, and I, of course, went out to the internet and searched around and saw this thing that was really cool.
And you bought something else.
And I could save a little bit of money by doing this other thing, and it looked really cool, and I bought this antenna. It was a great antenna, and it was not VHF and UHF. It was just UHF.
Oh, so well, tell us why that would matter.
It matters because there are some television channels that are UHF or ultra-high frequency.
Well, tell us which ones.
So like I think KDLT here in town is that's like 46.
Sure.
But if you want Kello and KSFY down there at nine is KCU out of Sioux City, but down at 13 and 11, those are VHF channels.
Ah.
Very high frequency.
Yes.
And I wasn't able to get those at all.
And you gotta
with
get
my
both.
Brand new spanking antenna.
Have both.
Yeah, but it was so pretty.
I do have to have both because the only way I sold cutting the cord in my house was I can give you everything, you know, I can give you CBS and ABC and I can give you all these channels of these shows in not stuttery breakup digital quality, but like all day,
awesome.
Every day, on when it's on kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I need to provide that steady signal. And I guaranteed that I could do that.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course,
that didn't go so well.
That didn't go really well. So yesterday,
we should go back to our earlier
thing. I actually ordered the antennas that I needed to order yesterday.
Yes, set it up before, make sure it's working first, and then and then cut the cord.
I have not made the phone call. Yes. No. I said, look, we're going to get this set up. We're going to get this wired. I bought a little DVR, $34. Is the cost of the DVR. I got to plug a hard drive or a flash drive into
and
it.
What's the brand of the DVR?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
It's some
DVR is a digital video recorder for anybody that's wondering what he's talking about.
Right. And there are cheap ones like this that have a tuner in them.
Sure.
That you can record one thing at a time in a sort
fashion. Not really a tuner. It's not a tuner. It's just a pathway to record video from source.
Just you plug the antenna into and it scans and...
Well, that's not technically a tuner, but I know what you're saying.
Well,
don't look at me to break this tie.
Was a tuner, turner, whatever. All right, so, and then there's, now I've found out, there's things in the kind of in the middle, like a TiVo type of a DVR.
You set me up for my next recommendation.
Oh, man.
So the TiVo Romeo over the air, I got one literally the day we had the show, mine was delivered. And it was $50.
Mm-hmm.
You can record four things at once, which is better than I'm able to do on my satellite DVR most times.
Okay.
And you can plug in an external drive if the 2 terabytes is not enough, or I think it's maybe 1 terabyte. It's a large hard drive.
Okay.
And it just works. And here's the downside. The big downside.
Subscription.
You don't have to have a subscription to make it work.
Okay.
You just have to have one to make it awesome. And it's $15 a month, which sounds like, why am I going back to doing this? Or you can pay for like a one-time fee. But, you know, $15 or $150, which is what we were paying before, it didn't seem like such a big deal to me at that point. Although I think if you pay a year, you can get it for, you know, $12.50 or whatever.
Okay.
But their service for, and what you're paying for is access to the information for all of the TV shows and movies that are on and when they're going to be on and smart searching of things like, if you want to find everything that has anything to do with Grey's Anatomy, you can find it, just hit search and it will find out if it's on replays, it'll tell you what channel it's on. The best part about it was, and I knew it did this, but when I actually did my first search of it, it was well beyond my belief, because of course we already subscribe to Hulu Plus and Netflix. We already subscribe to Amazon Prime because we get stuff in 2 days because we do.
Mm-hmm.
So I already had subscriptions to all of those, whether we were going to cut the cord or not. But what this TiVo Romeo does is it searches all of those plus the scheduled stuff if you pay the $15 a month. So I tell it, hey, I want to find all the Modern Family because we're backed up on that. We like that show. But what it says is, well, do you want to search all the channels? I'm like, yeah, totally, because we didn't see the first 2 seasons. We started on the 3rd, and now we're in the whatever we're in now. And it searches Hulu, Amazon Prime, and Netflix, and all of the channels that you have broadcast that have it all, and it shows them all to you. It will record just season 2 from 2 on. It will record all of them. It'll show you which ones you have to pay for, which ones you can stream, and it's just all right there. And I sound like they pay me here.
Right.
But I was super, super impressed.
Okay, but I have a question.
Yes.
So do you – but you're talking about using this instead of, like, satellites.
Totally.
Okay, but if I – are you paying for regular cable then?
No. That's
it's
just over the air.
Okay, but like my over the air, I think I can get like four channels.
You should be able to get at least nine if you're in Sioux Falls.
You're not using the right antenna.
You
got my problem.
And that's not a hard solution. You should be able to get 11 if you live anywhere in Sioux Falls at all, and you're not in like a pit or surrounded by giant trees.
So but that's like per TV. So I have to pick the TV that I want this attached to.
You don't have to.
Okay.
This requires a bit more either money or time.
I don't have either.
You can
being honest.
You can get so this is like $49 and that's it. And then you're $15 a month. You can get their little wireless doohickey, which is about $150, and that will send it to your mobile devices or any TV in your house. They have a couple different solutions, which they all sound like, oh, that's I have to spend this money. But, you know, that's like 2 months worth of cable.
True.
For your entire year.
Right.
You know,
the sticker shock is there.
So, yeah, it is. But if you parse it out, and that's, you know, of course, how I had to sell it.
Right.
But, you know, in our house, we only watch TV on one TV. That's just the way it's always been. So it's not an issue for us. Although being able to watch a mobile device is pretty nice. But the interface, I cannot say enough about how great the interface is, especially if you're already getting any of those streaming channels that I talked about.
We need to take a quick break.
Yes.
When we come back, I'm going to share my other thing that I learned, and we'll continue on, and we'll talk probably more about antennas.
Please do.
After this. And welcome back to Tech Radio featuring the Computer Guys. We're here with the studios of KCSD in Sioux Falls. Joel Brovelite is here. Keely Boltina, thanks so much for popping in. You brightened our day.
I am an honorary computer guy today.
Today you absolutely are.
I have used a computer in the past, so I qualify.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have a question we need to take care of here quick. He says, this is from Ivor in Brookings. He says, I've got if I'm reading the internet right, the Tesla Powerwall stores 10 kilowatts.
Right.
While the Tesla Model S has an 85 kilowatt battery. Seems to me that it would take 8 or 10 Powerwalls to charge a Tesla auto. He says, even the Chevy Volt has a battery of 16.5 kilowatts and the Powerwall will not charge it either. Am I understanding this correctly or not?
I believe you are. Now, what I don't know, because I'm not in the electric car market right now, so I haven't done enough research to other than just speak on it in a cursory manner. The Tesla batteries last much longer, and are, you know, depending on who you ask, much better than most of the other car companies. So I think the idea is you'd probably buy two of these power walls for your car, and you'd charge it overnight, and you'd get about half a charge because you probably wouldn't use a full charge. You probably wouldn't use, you know, 100, I think maybe 150 to 200 miles as some of their models will go because you probably aren't driving that every day.
You're 220, I think.
Yeah, maybe it's even 220.
Yeah.
You're not using that every day in the same way that, you know, your phone might charge fully, you know, in half an hour or an hour, but you don't most of the time. I know I don't. Use an entire charge every day, so you're down to zero as soon as you get home, and you can't use your phone anymore. That's the idea with maybe the Tesla car. Now, some of the other, the Nissan Leaf and a few of the smaller cars, you might use, you know, 100 miles or 70 miles of their capacity in a day. Although, if you're using for in-town driving, I'd be surprised if you are. So the idea is to supply the house or the car with the power you're actually using, not the capacity every possible day. And if you're in the market of, like, I drive 220 miles every day and I need to charge it up, well, then you're probably going to have to get four power walls and a big, giant thing. But the big advantage is not so much that you can charge your car using solar panels and you never have to pay for anything again, is you can store the power that you're getting from a solar panel and use it or buy it in off-peak time and use that power so you're both saving money and not using power that you could have gotten via solar. So it's just a solution. It's not necessarily an overall solution for every problem, but that's why it's modular, so that it could possibly be that solution.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully
right.
That answers it.
Yeah. So getting back to that, we'll just put the finishing touches on the cutting the cord thing here.
Right.
But the other thing that I sort of learned by talking to people about this subject, and I've had people come up to me and ask me questions and things, and from you know, I want to stream my PBS shows now, and they're telling me it's going to cost me a lot more money. And that came down to having a bandwidth provided by a cell phone carrier rather than being able to be on DSL or a cable modem or whatever because of their location and where their house is. It's not going to be the solution for you. You start watching a lot of movies or a lot of Novas and you burn up your cell bandwidth, it's going to get expensive really fast.
Yeah, cutting cord would definitely not be the solution for people that don't have great access to the internet. And that's
right.
That's, you know, that's more of a function of the internet and less a function of you know, other options available. And that's, that, you know, in rural South Dakota, that can be a problem. And hopefully, you know, hopefully that gets fixed, because that's it's really too bad that people don't have good access to fast internet, because it is as important or more important than telephone service or certainly TV service, and arguably power in some cases.
Yeah, I was shocked to have recommended to me when I started talking about a couple of the particular shows that we were going to need to find an alternative source for. I didn't realize there are torrent sites available.
Yes.
Torrent
sites, illegal places to download things.
Yeah, they can be.
Yeah. I mean, in the instance you're talking about, that's what they
but
are.
But there is a torrent site that is
sure.
Nothing but television. They don't do ISO. It isn't for downloading Windows or your
which is my argument for why these things need to be available to everybody at a reasonable price.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you can steal them, I think the vast majority of people will gladly pay an amount that they think is reasonable rather than steal.
But isn't that kind of the argument right now? I know this is a little bit off, but with streaming music and why Jay-Z's music service is not picking up a lot of speed, because the artists are saying we should be compensated fairly, and in the end, the users are saying, no, I'm going to buy it for $129 on iTunes, and I figure that's fair for them and that's fair for me. I'm not going to spend $250 so that, you know, the artist can get their fair share. I mean, I just see some parallels here with the whole,
I'm willing to pay
for the television if I can get it at a reasonable price.
I think you're right. Once
you hit that threshold where it's unreasonable mm-hmm. for me, then I'm going to find a way to watch it elsewhere.
Of course, yeah. Absolutely. And the music analogy you use is, I think, an apt one. The downside for the music industry in general is that was kind of the first to the market with that method, whereas you could buy one song or one album, you could buy it online, and it was a solution to a very rampant problem of stealing music that was readily available, so much easier than it is even now, that was kind of quick patchwork, and honestly, it worked. And I think a lot of the solutions have to be under the hood. Like, they're not going to be on my end or your end. They're going to be in the industry and amongst the artists. And that's why I think the salvo from the artists with Jay-Z's music services is kind of the first step for them saying, hey, you know, we need this to be better for us. Otherwise, we're going to have to do something else. And I think that's what's going to happen. It's going to be mostly under the hood, and I don't think it's going to affect consumers a lot, to be honest.
You really turned the whole TiVo thing around for me, because I was adamant that I was not going to get back into
me
the subscription
too.
Thing.
Me too.
But making it so convenient, the way you've described it to me, the service level provider, if it was just Electronic Program Guide, mm-hmm. which is what I was reading into.
That's what I thought,
The whole pitch of this thing. They don't get into the other part of this.
Yeah, and they talk about it, but it doesn't, they don't set it up for, you know, as good an experience as it really is. And here's the deal. You can buy this thing and not sign up for the service. You kind of have to keep hitting no every once in a while. Every time you go to a setting, it's like, you sure you don't want to sign up? I'm like, no, I'm sure I don't want to sign up. And I did that for a little while.
Uh-huh.
But then I was like, well, you know, I've got all these free services, and it searches all these free services. And I say these three, but it actually searches YouTube and a few other services that I wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole. So it actually accesses several different services. It's just a very good interface and pretty solid, I think.
Is there a contract with the subscription?
There is. You got to sign up for about a year at a time.
See, that's sometimes something that makes me go.
But you get to try it out for like a month.
Okay.
Right. You know, and here's the deal. It couldn't be perfect in the fact that you just pay for it one time, or in the fact that you could pay for it month to month. It couldn't be perfect because it's entirely too good and too unique to be perfect. Unfortunately, that's just the way it is. I tried several of the DVRs on the market briefly, I got them in, I tested it, and I didn't like it. And this is the one that I thought, and it was my wife that says, like, $15 a month, we are paying 100XXX. Who cares? I'm like, right. That's a good point.
20,
good point.
25?
Yeah.
Still a quarter of a fifth
was,
of what
it was a
we
very
were.
Good point.
It was, yeah.
And if you want, you can, and we haven't done this, but if you want, I think it's $450 or $600 one time.
Pay it on the front end.
And then you never have to pay for it again. The only thing that scares me for that is it's for that one device.
Mm. Oh.
So that thing craps out. You can't use it.
It doesn't transfer.
Yeah. So that's a bit what scares me there, although
Kent's brow is furrowed.
Yeah.
It is.
Seems
yeah,
cuz I
yeah, I can
Seems
think of
scary.
A number of reasons I'm not going to do that.
Right.
$600 is
But
the first.
You know, I highly recommend it, and again, for $50, you can try it out before you even pay for anything and try it out for free. Again, they do not pay me. I was just very impressed.
They don't pay you yet.
Yeah.
You should talk with them.
I've been on this radio show for long enough that I know that that's never coming.
Yeah. This is public radio. And I will say that there are other devices out there. Channelmaster, the company that a lot of people know for making great antennas, makes a great DVR. It's a two-channel, so it's very similar to maybe what you're used to. You can record a thing and watch a thing at the same time and pause it and rewind and do the thing that you plug an antenna into, and it has an electronic program guide that's based on the PSIP information that comes over the air.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit more pricey than some of the DVRs on the market, but probably built better and
yeah, you know, it's like $200.
Great form factor. In the high twos, $299.
Yeah, and I don't think
something.
There's a subscription fee for that, right?
There is not.
Yeah,
it is
you don't have to do that.
A subscriptionless system, which makes it attractive as well, and beautiful form factor.
But I mean, again, if you're cutting the cord, you're probably going to use a streaming service, and that's why I would recommend the TiVo, because
sure. You
just have instant access to it. All the things that you want. It's just very clever.
I mean, I'm willing to consider it, but TiVo to me, like...
Scary. Yeah, it sounds like...
Yeah, it sounds so old and antiquated.
I agree.
So I'm willing to listen.
And they have
I was thinking the opposite. I was
and
thinking,
they have a horrible logo. That was the reason I didn't want to buy it, because they have
a little antenna
logo.
Coming out
yeah,
of the TV?
Yeah, it's terrible.
Aww.
It's a horrible logo.
I think it's cute.
It is.
Yeah.
Cute. You're outvoted. You're off the island.
Isn't that always the way?
We'll have to talk about this maybe next show, but because we were going to talk about a PC build that I put together.
Oh, yeah.
But just we're in the final just minute and a half of the show or so. I did do a blog post this morning, and I posted that also to Facebook. So facebook.com/techradio. If you're thinking about possibly buying a new PC and maybe toying with the idea that building it yourself, or at least configuring it the way that you might want to, I put together a list of a couple of websites that you want to check out. One rates CPUs and GPUs and things, and the other helps you put your build together. And it's kind of a social media site for sharing computer builds. Really kind of cool. Facebook.com/techradio. You could also go to sdpb.org/blogs and see it in the news and information blog there.
And if I'm only somewhat interested but not sure if I have the capability,
it's
will this
really,
help me do it?
Yeah, because okay. I also include a couple of links for some people that will put it together for you. And
good.
There's also a couple of great places in town. I can think of, is it PC Gold,
yeah.
Green Eggs and Ram? Yeah, but you'll come in a little better educated on the particular
Absolutely.
Parts that you may want built, depending on your needs. Maybe if you're not a complete gonzo gamer and you don't need all the latest processors and video cards, maybe you don't even need a video card because the onboard system is on there, you'll be able to pick from other people's builds and what they're building it for, if they're building a media center, or if they're building a gaming computer or something for their grandmother. I've seen all of these things on the site, and they lay it out for you. It's very nice because it has a compatibility checker built in. As you pick the parts, it tells you if it's all going to work together. It also tells you the current prices for all the major websites. So it'll parse the Amazon and the Tiger Direct and all those other websites for you. Anyway, check it out if you care to, and then join us for our next show. May 15th, right here on SDPB Radio, noon Central Time. Thank you so much, Keely, for brightening our May Day today.
Thank you.
And Joel Brovelite, of course, thank you so much for your expertise. We didn't really talk about Mac today, but that's okay.
It's okay. Yeah. Tesla, it's second, almost as good.
Yeah. Have a great weekend, everybody.